Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Last week, on Tuesday as well, about being credit responsible and understanding that, you know, it could get you into trouble if you're biting more than you can chew, not able to make payments, not able to pay in full on time. That's when it can work against you. So remember it. You know, we asked everybody when we did a survey about being credit responsible and not putting on more than you can chew, but using credit to your advantage, right? And how much it can open up a whole different world for you. Let's go to the next slide. All right, so then we got into looking at a sample of a credit report. And this is kind of where we left off. So the first number one line really shows your name. And this is really so most of my, including myself, I didn't see my first credit report until I was applying for my first mortgage. And I think it's important that everybody has an understanding of how a credit report looks and what you should be looking out for. So it doesn't become an intimidating thing or something that you're nervous about. You know, that's the point of this entire program is like to really plant a lot of seeds with you guys. So, you know, you understand basic financial literacy principles. You start having that wealth mindset and you're able to grow on your own, knowing that you have the confidence that you can achieve wealth in the country that we live in. So the first line is your personal information and understanding that you have a unique identifier, which is your tax ID, your social insurance number, knowing that that number is really the number that identifies who you are more than your name. And is making sure the information is correct. Like if you're missing a middle initial in your name, you need to get it correct by calling the bureaus. If your name is misspelled, you need to get it correct. If your date of birth is wrong, you need to get it corrected. These are things that can lead to problems down the road because information is constantly being fed into these bureaus. And if there's a mismatch, it could throw off your score. So you really need to make sure that everything is as accurate as possible. Okay. And then number two is hyperlinks where you can just click on to them and get to where you need to go to faster. Number three, it's potentially negative items. So what we talked about in last class, and I'll ask you again, if something is negative on your credit report, but it is true, can it be removed? Anybody? Can anybody tell me?
No.
If something is on your credit report that's negative, saying that you missed four payments, and you truly did miss four payments, can we get that removed?
No.
Yeah. Exactly. What if someone tells you, oh, I can fix your credit. I can get that off your credit. Don't worry about it. Just pay me $500 and I'll make it go away. Can that person do that legally?
No.
No, exactly. Trust me, as simple as that sounds, people believe that and pay these people money and they do a lot of different scams, okay? Like, so that's a big no. It's like your report card. You know, unfortunately, if you get a low grade on your report card, you can't remove it. The only way you can bring up your GPA is if you do well in other courses. It's just like with credit. So if you have something negative on your credit report, to really make it, to decrease your score is to pay those other bills, continue to start paying that one on time. keeping minimal balances, that sort of thing. And it'll hopefully bring up your score. All right. But potentially negative items that are not true, can you get them removed?
Yeah.
Yes. And how would you do that? Say something came up on your credit report from TransUnion that showed that you own a Porsche 911 and you have it leased in California, but you live in New York. How would you get it removed? And it's saying you missed 5 payments.
Don't you like talk to your bank about it?
Nope. Well, you could go to your bank first, but if your bank didn't finance it, you're absolutely right. You could go to where you got the financing from and you didn't get that financing. So it's not even anything to do with you. It's saying you leased a car in Malibu, a Porsche 911, and you don't even live in Malibu. And the bank is called Malibu's Great Rate Bank. What would you do?
You would go to TransUnion.
Yeah,
TransUnion. You would go to TransUnion and you would tell them.
They'd ask you for supporting documents. And then you're right. We're saying you could go to Malibu Great Rates and call them and tell them, what is this that you guys are sending over to the credit bureaus? I've never even had an account with you. Then they can send you a letter saying that you don't have an existing account with us. And then you could send that over, attach it to an email and send it over to TransUnion to let them know I'm not even, you have the wrong person, right? Make sense? Like I had an episode with my friend's mother. She's trying to buy a house. I was helping her buy a house. This is a few years ago. And she's actually an immigration officer. And she had to have an ambulance pick her up one time. Nothing serious, thank God. But the hospital kept sending her bills for the ambulance fee. And she knows through her job, she's an immigration officer. She has great medical. Her job covers that. So she was basically just ignoring it because she knew that hopefully eventually her job is going to kick in and pay that bill. But what happened, they never did. And when we got to the closing table now, her credit score was like initially 780. So they gave her a rate based on having an excellent credit. By the time we were ready to close now, where they re-ran her credit, it dropped to like below 700. And they adjusted the rate that she was going to be paying like $100-something more a month. And I was like, no, we're not going to accept this. And I'm saying, let me look at your report. And that ambulance bill payment came up. And she was like, well, I have full insurance. She tried to show the bank her insurance card. The bank was like, well, that's not our problem. This is what your credit report says. So to make a long story short, we had to do what you just did. We had to call the hospital, provide them with her health card from where she worked for the government. They took that card, then applied the payment to her insurance. And then it took like a week or so to get off her credit report. And then her score jumped back up. And then we were finally able to close. Push back the closing over a month because all that had to get changed. And to me, it was worth it because it was $100-something more a month you'd have to pay in payments because of her credit score dropping. And this is what the point I say about good credit. Good credit saves you money. That's really what credit is. It's you're trying to have access and get a discount. One thing about in the United States, bad credit does not prevent you from getting access to mortgages, getting access to a car loan, car note, but it just makes you pay more. Like, here's a question for you. You pull up to a red light and there's two cars at the red light beside you. One is a brand new Tesla and the other one is an old Honda Accord. Who's paying more every month if they both decided to lease the car? Tesla. Who's paying more? Let's do another survey, Ramon. One says Tesla, two says Honda.
Tesla.
One says Tesla, two says Honda. Who's paying the most?
Tesla.
Ramon, are you there? You're there, right, Ramon? He's not in. Is he on the line? Is he in the chat?
Maybe I just step away for a second.
No.
All right, so Nigel, let's sum it up. Let's see what we get.
I think we've got a lot of twos, some ones. Honda.
So two is Honda. So how many twos we got there, Rachel? One, two, three,
one, two,
four.
Three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
Oh, I thought one was Honda.
Nine.
One is, what is one is, did I say one is Honda and two is Tesla? What did I say?
You said one was Honda.
One is Honda.
Okay, so how many Teslas do we have at number two?
We have nine twos.
That's Tesla. And how many Hondas do we have?
I have one, three. Six Hondas.
Six Hondas, nine Teslas. Okay, let me ask the Honda people. Why did you choose Honda?
Oh, wait. It seems like...
There's some confusion about which one was one and which one was two.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
Okay, so should we backtrack really quickly?
Two was Honda, sorry.
Okay, let's just make it easy. Put a Honda or Tesla. Yeah. My apologies. Sometimes we overthink. We overthink in this generation. Like, better put a one or two or, you know, Dodge.
Patrol with Honda because it's paid off.
All right, so those that put one or two, please replace it with either Honda or Tesla. And we'll add it up again.
Wow. Looks like Honda's ready.
So those are saying that the person driving the old Honda is going to be paying more than the guy driving the brand new Tesla. That's what were the overwhelming responses. Rachel, Nigel, would you guys agree?
I agree.
Yeah.
That's what it's looking like.
Looks like Honda's winning it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so let's ask the Honda people, why do you say Honda? Akeem, why are you saying Honda? Emmanuel, why are you saying Honda?
So you have to have good credit for a Tesla.
Okay, possibly. I don't know what their lending criteria is, but you know, I like how you're thinking. So you're saying the person wouldn't get qualified, so they just have to result in getting a Honda. Is that it?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, no, but let me not put words
because
in your
it
mouth.
Takes more to keep up with.
Yeah, Tesla is definitely way more than. A Honda.
So who's paying more every month? The Tesla?
I would say Tesla.
Yeah, let me just throw in, granted, the Tesla is definitely more expensive than the Honda. I'm not debating that. But who's going to be paying more every month?
I think the Tesla.
Okay, how many people say the Honda?
Honda.
And why do you say the Honda?
Because... Didn't you say that the credit, if you have like a good credit, like put down like the bill or something that you have to like pay.
I like where you're going. I like where you're going with it. I like where you're going with it. All right, so let me leave you guys out of suspense. The answer is I don't know. And let me tell you why the answer is I don't know. Years ago, I was looking to buy a Maxima, Nissan Maxima. And I was living in Flatbush, Brooklyn at the time. And if anybody knows Kings Highway, I just went to the closest dealership where I lived, which was living in the 90s. And I went to inquire about getting a Nissan Maxima. And he was telling me, you know, it would have been about $600 a month. And at that time, I was working at Chase Bank. And I said, well, let me just go to the dealership in Manhattan. And it was for no particular reason, and this is a used Nissan Maxima. It wasn't new. It was really just for me to look at the new ones and just awe them. And hopefully one day I'd be able to get one. And when I got there and I told them what I want and they ran my credit, they saw that I had great credit. They were like, okay, no money down, $300 a month. And I said, excuse me. They were like, yeah, $300 a month. I said, and brand new, excuse me. And he said, yes. And I was like, I was just in Brooklyn and a used one. They were going to charge me $600 a month. Why are you charging me? I thought it was such a scam. Something had to be wrong that I didn't fully understand. I didn't grasp. So I went back to the dealership in Brooklyn and I said, you know, you're charging me $600 for a used car and I can get the same exact car brand new and only pay $300 a month. And he said, what's your credit? And I said, it's about 770. He goes, this place is not for you. This place is only for people with bad credit. So this is why I say, you don't know, because I've seen in so many cases with friends of mine with not so good credit where they're paying an arm and a leg for like a simple thing like a car versus what I'm paying for something brand new. So once again, the answer is a person with Tesla could have great credit and have a great deal while the person driving the Honda has horrible credit and paying an arm and a leg for a car that's worth a tenth of what the Tesla is worth. So back to my point, you can get credit, you can buy a home, but you're just going to pay more than the average person if your credit is bad. So you're doing yourself such a disservice with bad credit. Make sense? Depends on the credit. Everybody gets a different deal. Exactly, Nigel. Yeah. Well said, well summed up. All right, so let's go. Let's continue the next slide. Number four now. I can't really read it too well. There we go. Indicates the current status of the account. So let's just say, see, this says status, paid, past due, 30 days. It shows, and if you look further down, it shows the date that was open, how long it was open for. It shows how many payment, what your monthly payment is. This gives you a brief summary of the type of credit you have and what the status is of it. So remember, a credit report is only showing things that potentially are on credit or loans in that nature. So is it going to show, is a credit report going to show your bank account balance? Huh? Does anybody help me? Can it, are you going to be able to see your bank, your savings or
no.
your exactly. So when the question asked earlier in the course about, you know, using a debit card versus a credit card, or was a debit card hurt your credit? It does neither, because it's really, you're not crediting anything. You're borrowing your own money. And, you know, there are laws, protection laws against accessing people's account. That's even like former president. You guys heard about Donald Trump, where they were trying to look into his taxes and access account. You just can't, government or people just can't arbitrarily go and research a person's account and pull certain things. It's actually not even, it's against the law. You have to get permission. So don't think that, you know, people can access your bank account and see what your bank account balance is and those sort of things. It's really prohibited. So anything to do with your tax ID where you provide it could show up on your credit report. Am I making sense? Hello? Yes?
Could you repeat that again, please?
Anything that you gave someone your tax ID, your social insurance number, has a potential to show up on your credit report. Anytime you take any form of loan, we have a payment plan, we have to make a payment, that can show up on your credit report.
Yes.
Rent can show up, missed rent payments can show up on your credit report.
Yes.
It's for the landlord myself to report it to the bureaus, but potentially it can show up on your report. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And then we talked about last week, you know, see the days open when you opened your account. I mean, the longer you've opened your account and you've made great payments, the more credit history you have. That's why having no credit is not a good thing. And that's what we talked about in Mr. 850 and myself mentioned last class. The earlier I believe you establish credit, the better off you'll be. And there was a young lady, I don't know if it was this class or the other class, that mentioned that her mom opened up an account for her, a credit card for her, and her credit score is now like 722. Was it this class or was it Benjamin's class? I can't remember.
It was this class. Student in our last during the spring cohort as well.
Correct. Okay. So those are beautiful things, because she has an I would call it a competitive advantage, or just an advantage, that by the time she graduates from college, she can have like a 750, 760 score, and that's just as good as having an 850 score. All right, you can be proud to be called Mr. or Mrs. 750. It's just as strong as Mr. 850. Don't let Mr. 850 bully. Okay. Once you get over 750, you're all playing the same game. Let's go to the next slide. Okay. So accounts in good standing. So these are accounts where you've done well. You've made your payments. Everything is good. You know, they'll show them. And to be honest with you, I don't think you have to really look over these too carefully, because it's saying everything is good and it's helping you. It's a positive. You really want to look at your credit report to find things that are negative to figure out how you can do better. You know, could there be things in your credit report that are good that you didn't put there? Absolutely. And if you want to report it, God bless you. But the good standing. Yes.
Let me jump in real quick. The account in good standings. This is the experience. So I received the TransUnion reports. So mine's a little different, and they kind of combined all the accounts, and the ones not in good standings are in red and show whether they're 30 days or 90 days or 120 days late automatically. So anything in red, if I see your report, I don't, you know, it just pops out at me. Or if there's no red, it pops out at me as well that, whoa, this guy has all on-time payments. And, you know, he's current with everything. So that really speaks volume to everything, you know, when I'm looking to have a tenant get into an apartment. So this speaks volume to anything you do as a student moving forward into an apartment somewhere. And as we know, if you get, if you're fortunate enough to get a MedCon, a New York Connect apartment, which is a really reasonable apartment, you don't want anything simple to prevent you from getting that apartment. You want to make sure all your T's are crossed and your I's are dotted properly. So these reports, you have to look at these critically and get familiar with them as you go forward. And if you have a credit card, just, you know, look at your score and look at your report. You can pull it and it shouldn't cost you anything as you go forward. But yeah, the accounts and good standings show where, if you have an automobile or if you just have credit cards, how you've been paying that up. All right, Sean.
Yeah, and I can tell you this. Credit bureaus and banks and anybody that's providing a credit report, they've really done a good job to make it as simple and as easy as possible to understand. You know, they're not like, there's not some hidden lines that you're not going to see or be aware of. They really make it very simple and clear for you to follow and understand. And just like with any report card, like, you know, you get a report card and you get a bad mark in history, you know, you have to work harder on in history. If you're seeing that you're missing payments or you're not paying on time, you can't afford to pay full on certain credit cards or loans, you have to then, you know, coach yourself to do better and figure out where am I going wrong? Am I overspending? I'm not making it. And, you know, I do this self-evaluation with myself constantly. And then I do a big one every year in January, which I mentioned before. I go through all my expenses, but I look and see, you know, like, for example, I had a mortgage that I got like about 15 years ago. And it was like, you can pay interest only, or you can pay interest and principal. And when I was young and aggressive, I was just paying interest only because I was like, you know, I'm going to keep the same balance and then I'm going to flip it out and buy something else. And then as I get older, I get a little more aggressive with my payments. I pay more than interest only. I pay principal as well, bring them down, because my outlook and my mindset has changed more. Like, you know, I want to be able to pay these assets off and pass them on to my children. So, you know, it's about, you know, always self-evaluating, seeing where you are and knowing ways in which you can do better. And we all, you know, we're, myself included, that's even why I like teaching this program, because it just reaffirms things that I need to do to make sure that I'm achieving things that I need to do in financial literacy as well. You know, I'm sure that's the same with Mr. 850, Nigel, Rachel, Ramon, everybody else on this call. This is an ongoing journey. You know, and the sooner you start this journey and create those disciplines, the better you'll be. And it starts with looking at your credit report. I know people that are scared to look at their credit report. And you can't, because this is how you're going to be judged for a lot of different things in life, by your credit. So you have to know before you sit down to get a loan or mortgage, you should already have known your report, know what's on it, you know, be able to talk your way through it. This should be like no surprises.
There's a question in the chat asking if you can pay more on your interest, from Akeem.
Pay more in what way? Make a larger payment?
I think so.
Yeah, we don't encourage paying the minimum payment, because it gets back to that word, that D word. What's that D word I like to say a lot? If you're just making minimum payments, how are you looking to future creditors? You're looking desperate. You're looking like you can only afford that amount. Desperate, exactly. And so you don't want to look desperate, because if you're seeking further credit or further opportunities down the road, you want to always show, you know, it's like a catch 22. You know, you're in need of credit. You'll find that as you get older, you're like, you know, I'm trying to get credit and the bank is telling me no, because I'm used up a lot of credit I already have. But that's the only reason why I'm going to them for more credit. And, you know, I found myself in that position a lot when I was younger. But you have to understand, and anything in life, you always want to follow the three C's: calm, cool, and collective. You want to act like you got this covered. You need the credit, but you don't need the credit. You have access to credit that you're not really using, but you're trying to seek better opportunities. You always want to be in this cool mode that you're not in a desperate situation. So making minimum payments sends a red flag that, okay, you're making your payments, but you can't afford to make more than your payments. So why would I lend you more money? Get it?
And Sean, I want to make one quick point as we go forward, and then I guess we can go to the next slide. As you know, there's a rent moratorium. I mean, the people who can't pay rent, the state is protecting them, so we can't, landlords can't evict them. So what landlords are doing is whatever criteria they follow, they're very strict now. So case in point, I have an apartment that's coming up that's going to be available. I post it, I get a flood of calls. When I ask the question, what's your score? Because I don't want to pull it and then, you know, make you waste your money because I don't pay for that. They pay for it. So when I say, what's your score? They say, oh, it's 740. I said, the ad said a minimum 650. I mean, if it's 640 and the ad says 650, that 10% knocks them out. I don't give them a break. You can't do 650. You can't come in. Now, I've been fortunate. Most of my tenants, if not all of them, have at least a 680 or higher, you know, but I used to give breaks, but because of the moratorium now and all this stuff with evictions, I can't take a chance on you. So whatever criteria I've set up, you as the person looking for an apartment have to meet it. I don't give any breaks because I can't afford to get stuck with someone. And I've been lucky. I only had one person. I have one person who's playing a game, but all that's going to eventually come to an end. Eventually. All right. So let's go forward. What would be the next one?
So I want somebody to help me through this and read request for your credit history. Can somebody read that for me?
I got you.
Thank you.
What he said?
Request for your credit history is there on the right-hand side and the black font below that.
Okay. Also called inquiries, requests for your credit history are logged on report. Logged on your report whenever anyone reviews your credit information. There are two types of inquiries. You want me to continue reading?
Yes, please.
Got you. Inquiries, my phone dying. Inquiries resulting from a transaction initiated by you. These include inquiries, credit insurance. No, my bad. From your applications for credit insurance, housing, or other loans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
They also include transfer of an account to a collection agency. Creditors may view these items when evaluating your creditworthiness. Yep. Inquiries resulting from transactions.
So number two, so that's number one. So point number two now is inquiries resulting from transactions, right? You continue.
Inquiries resulting from transactions you may not have initiated, but that are allowed under FCRA. These include pre-approved.
Let's stop there. So this basically means that there are two type of inquiries, okay? The first one that they meant, number one, we like to call it a hard inquiry, meaning that you are seeking credit. You are trying to get, like they said in here, a loan, you're trying to get a mortgage, the creditor is coming after you. Those are things that will show up in your credit report where your credit had to be pulled. So a lot of you like to ask the question, does it hurt my credit score to have my credit pulled? And they like to be very controlling over who pulls their credit report. And the answer is, it can. No, do I let that stop me from when I'm rate shopping to a certain extent? No, because I'm not going to get myself into a higher rate just because I don't want my credit report pulled. But you can be control the end game to that by having a copy of your credit report available and telling people, like, the rules of engagement. Hey, when I'm looking for a mortgage, I'm like, hey, my name is Sean Linda. I saw a 4-family building that I'm looking to buy. I have an 800 credit score. If you want, I can print out a copy and send it to you. But what rates or terms can you give me based on my credit score? Based on blah, blah, blah. Ask me all the questions you need to ask me. And then if they say, well, Sean, we can give you a 4% interest rate, blah, 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 then I'll say, okay, and I'll compare it to what other deals I'm going to get. And then when I finally see the deal that I like, I'll say, okay, I think I'm going to move forward with Bank of Nigel versus Bank of Rachel or Taquan. And then I'm going to say, okay, Nigel, are you sure? What are your current terms and rates happening right now? Just to reiterate what you told me a week ago. And we say, yeah, this is a deal, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, let's move forward with this. And the last thing I'm going to tell you is pull my report. I'm even going to start filling out forms, applications. And then once we get to that part, he finally says, well, we finally now need to pull your report. I'm like, okay. And I'm managing the risk. I'm managing my exposure. I'm putting the onus on them to like do what their due diligence before they pull my credit. Because a lot of people, a lot of banks and loans and everything, they want to grab you before anybody else grabs you. So they'll make you do all these preliminary things that you don't necessarily need to do right away. So you're kind of already indebted with them. You know, you're like, oh, Bank of America already pulled my credit. They already ran this, they already did this form. But they still have the right of refusal. They can still decline you. And that's a frustrating that happens to, you know, people and, you know, especially people in our community that don't know better. They'll go through stage 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7 with a bank. And then the bank will decline and they get frustrated. And they're like, I'm done with banks. I'm done with loans. They have a bad experience and they don't want to just try it again because it was such a long and tedious process. So I try to be really upfront and like be aggressive with them to get their stuff together before we did. So then I'm not going that length. And, you know, and one thing I put everything on the table. Here's my situation, because chances are they're going to find it anyhow. And I hate to be in a situation where, like, you think everything is good. And then they were like, oh, we saw that you missed a payment a couple weeks ago. Oh, we didn't know you had more than one dependent. And then the deal gets thrown off or they want to put something in there. So I'm like, before you come in, I'm going to tell you my situation. And we all have a situation, good or bad. And then let them decide what they can do. And people respect that more. And then you'll understand, like, what terms you can get, you know, where you can play based on what you're putting on the table to them. Like, even with my contractors, I'm doing some renovation on my home. And it's just like negotiating 101. You know, I tried to hire people with certain levels of experience and professionals. So they'll tell me, they have these things I'm learning in renovations called add-ons. Okay, I committed to them renovating the kitchen. They'll break down all the walls. Like, oh, man, we saw that there's a brick loose. And that wasn't part of the deal. So we're going to have to charge you now $2,000 to fix that brick kind of thing. And they'll call them, quote unquote, add-ons. So my thing is, so they'll say, okay, I'll be like, agree, okay, fix the brick. And then when they're fixing the brick, well, like, oh, you need a special kind of brick now. And I'll say, as part of a negotiating tactic, I hired you as a professional. You've been doing this for X amount of years. There should be no kind of surprises like this. From the time you've given me a quote and committed to a quote, I'm not understanding where you didn't lack the understanding to know that this problem could have arisen and not put it into your calculation. And it kind of puts them in a mode where they have to now become on the defense mode and defend their actions. And it's the same thing when negotiating when it comes to deals. When you put everything forthcoming and you make sure they commit to what you've provided to them and you know what you provided to them is accurate, they can't double talk you in the back end, if that makes sense.
I just want to talk to you on time because we've got 15 more minutes. So I didn't know if we wanted to
get... Oh, sorry. I know. I go off on tangents and, you know, bad shot. But
no, I'm just kidding. I just want to make sure because I know we're still in class
three. We're still in class three, yes. So that's what I want to say. And then the soft inquiries are places that where you get those pre-approvals in the mail and they're telling you certain offers that you want. You didn't control that. It's coming to you unexpectedly. And those don't hurt your credit score. So basically, in the last 15 minutes I've gone off, there are hard inquiries and soft inquiries. And thank you, Rachel. Let's go to the next slide. All right, so this is another credit score, a credit report story. And can anybody tell me where it's coming from, what credit bureau it's coming from, and what are you learning from it? So, Dante, what are you learning from this report?
Like the whole report from this right here that I'm looking at?
Yeah, what do you see? Tell me what you see.
I don't know how to say that word.
Avantis?
Yeah.
I get it.
The credit summary.
Right. It's a summary. Exactly.
I see the credit score.
Correct. What do you see? I see I score singular or plural?
Singular or plural. I can't.
You see more than one credit score? You see?
Yeah, I see more than one.
So what is it saying to you? What does it say above the credit scores? What do you see?
That it's increasing?
No. What do you see? Okay, you see 730, right? What's above it?
What's below it?
No, go back up, Rachel.
What's below? Where?
No, you see the score 730 right there where the Rachel's going to point that arrow right there. You see 730?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the word above it? See,
that's pointing right there.
TransUnion. Now go to the next one. It says 732. What does it say?
Experian.
And the other one, it says 734. What does it say?
Equifax.
What is the story it's telling you right now? This company, Avantis, maybe some kind of mortgage company, some kind of lender, and they pulled your credit report from three different credit bureaus, correct? And this is how you're being evaluated. Huh?
Oh, no. I thought you was...
Are you with me?
Yeah. I thought you was still asking me a question.
Yeah, I am. Sorry, I'm asking you a question, but I'm not asking you the right way. I apologize. So you see that it's pulling your credit report, right?
Yeah.
Yes? From three different credit bureaus, right?
Ay, de por Dios.
Correct?
Yeah.
Now, these credit bureaus... Are they speaking to one another? Is TransUnion saying, oh, I sent my credit report over to them, to Avantis, and Experian saying, we sent ours too, and Equifax is saying, and they're all speaking together? Are they doing it independently?
Independently.
Correct. So this is where now
you're getting this.
Very good. So this is where Dante, they're looking and they're saying, you think about you as working at Avantis. You're looking at Dante's credit report and seeing that, okay, TransUnion says you have a 730, Experian has a 732, Equifax has a 734. Do I want to lend this gentleman money? What does it say about your so far? Does it say that you're decent, you're okay, you're excellent? What is it saying?
I would say that I'm decent.
You're decent, yeah. They're looking at you like, okay, this could be an applicant, and now they can dig. This is why the credit score is a summary. If this is really low, like Jeff was saying, if he didn't see anything above 650, he's just dismissing. He doesn't even need to see the detail. Right? Because they're like, nah, these scores, we're not having it. So now they're going to look at specifics. So we can scroll up a little, Rachel, please. So now it's going to show the number of accounts. You know, we can look into detail and say, how many accounts do I have this person have? Oh, they have quite a few, 28. How many are active? How many are missed payments? You can see like, okay, how many public records? You can see now specifics of what drew them to get to this score. Look at that revolving credit line used. 15%. You see that in the right hand side there? Go over, Rachel, down the bottom right hand side where it says available credit. Right. So does that person look desperate?
No.
Not at all.
No, not at all. They look like they're chilling, they're cruising, right? So imagine that number was set of 15% was at 98%. Would they look desperate? Would you give that person a mortgage where they've utilized almost all of their credit?
No, that's being desperate.
So think of you as a lender. Exactly. Would you not like consider this applicant. They have $87,000. I think that's the number available. They've only used up less than 20% of their available credit. Would you give this person a mortgage if they had good income?
Yeah. And he had no past due.
And they have no past due. That's why sometimes when people get declined, it's nothing personal. It's somebody reviewing like this. And there's not a name associated, just their tax ID. And if you get declined because of bad credit history, think about from the lender's perspective. Why would I take the chance of lending this person money available when they're the high chance they won't pay me back? Does that make sense to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. Let's go to the next slide. This is more just going through the specifics of a credit report, and let's keep scrolling through. Once again, this is just specific lines in a credit report, inquiries. Go ahead. All right, let's just talk about some of these terms, okay, that you need to know when you see them on the back of a credit card or you see them in general, okay? The first one is annual percentage rate. And I'll read it out loud. It's an annual interest rate that includes the cost of fees and the base interest, does not factor in compounding. Credit cards can have multiple APRs from purchases, cash advance, and balance transfers, as well as penalty rates or promotional rates. Your APR depends on your credit. APRs can also vary over time versus the prime rate. An index interest rate for the most loans based on the Federal Reserve's Fed fund rate. I know that sounds confusing, but let me just summarize it to you as best as I can. Based on your credit, they can charge you whatever rate they want to charge you. Okay, they still would have to remain competitive amongst their competitors. If you have an 850 score and they're going to try to charge you 30%, they probably won't get many clients because 850 people are going to go to better rates. But as your credit gets worse, they can charge you a higher rate. Cash advances. If you have to get a cash advance on your credit card, and let me just explain what that is for those that don't know what it is. You have your credit card, not your bank card, and you're using it to take out hard cash and not purchase an item. Does that make you look desperate or not desperate?
I'm sorry, could you say that again? The first part it cut off for me.
A cash advance. So it's basically using your credit card to withdraw actual money off your credit card. Does that make you look desperate? If I have to go to my credit card to get out hard cash, do you think you're in a position of desperation?
No, no, because you could be paying back the money.
Okay, let me give you an example. Cash advances have a very high interest rate. And the interest starts immediately. You know what I mentioned? When you purchase something on a credit card, you have 30 days minimum before you have to pay it back. With a cash advance, soon as you take it out, soon as you withdraw that money, the interest starts accumulating. And even if you have a great credit score like Mr. 850, interest rates are still high on all cash advances. There's no breaks on a cash advance. So I'll ask the question again. Do you look desperate by getting a cash advance?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And it's my fault I didn't explain it clearly. Cash advances, they're designed to serve people that are desperate. If you have to result in getting a cash advance, you're telling the credit card company you have no money in the bank, you have no access to cash. So they're going to charge you a lot of money to pull that money out. So you don't want to ever resort to having to do a cash advance on your credit card. Okay. Balance transfers are, you know, a thing I love to take advantage of when necessary. So balance transfer means that one thing about America, you can have a balance on a credit card and then transfer that balance onto another credit card. And, you know, you can watch and see where interest rates are. If interest rates are high on your credit card and you have to revolve the balance, and you can go online, search balance transfer deals, and Citibank may be offering a zero interest balance transfer for the next 12 months. And in summary, that means you're on a zero interest loan and you can pay that off in most likely, hopefully equal installments. So you're not paying any interest. And the key of the game when it comes to credit is to pay as minimum interest as possible. So it allows you to transfer your balance on credit cards from one card to the other. And, you know, I've done it many times. Like especially when I was young and flipping and buying properties, I'd renovate a property, put everything on the credit card, and try to get a zero interest card. And when that balance transfer, when that zero interest is about to expire, and maybe I didn't pay it off in full, I try to transfer it onto another card. Am I making sense? And then the last thing they talked about is just a regular interest rate on that card. And a lot of them have teaser rates, so you need to pay attention. You could start off with a great rate, like zero interest rate, which is the best rate you can get. And then over time, it will adjust. And you're not married to these credit cards. You can date them for a while and then put them to the side. Keep them over there. Don't use them. But you don't have to continue to use the same credit card for the rest of your life just because you have the card. You can seek and look other opportunities. So compounding interest.
They can offer different credit cards. You know, like, you don't have to always stay with just one. Like, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I was just about to ask Sean, just to clarify what you were saying before. Are you saying that, like, the debt basically is transferable from card to card? Is that, like, the crux of what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Thank you.
No problem.
Mm-hmm. You can transfer from card to card. And for you as a consumer to see what is the best deal out there. Because your business is you. So you have to... Banks, companies, mortgage companies, they're in a business of to make money. And it's for you, you're in the business of protecting your money and using it as best as you possible, maximizing it and leveraging your credit. That's what you're in the business of. And the bank is in the business of getting paid, right? But you both can work together. I love the bank as a partner. Be honest with you, sometimes I like the bank as a partner. Most times I like the bank as a partner than an individual because I know what my commitment is with the bank. As long as I make those payments every month, the bank is not going to call me. They're not going to harass me. They're not going to bother me. Trust me, I've had investors. They've given me $100. Hey, Sean, how's my $100 doing? How am I doing? When is it going to see? When is my $100 going to turn into $1 million? You said it was going to be next week. When is it going to happen? I'm still looking. I gave you my $100. Like, it's Monday and it's Tuesday and I'm not hearing anything from you. Can you send me a statement every week, every day to let me know how my $100 is doing? Versus the bank, you get a monthly statement every month. And as long as you meet that commitment, they're that silent partner that will work with you. And as the years go on, your relationship gets stronger, right? Balance. Oh, we talked about comp interest in the last class. And you know, comp is interest charged upon interest. So you guys should still be familiar with that. I don't need to go into it. We talked about it last week. Balance. The amount of money you owe on a bill, including any purchases, interest, late payment fees, transaction fees, annual fees, cash advance or balance transfer. So when you get a credit card, it'll show the balance. And beside it, we talked about, it'll show the minimum due. The minimum due doesn't mean that's what you have to pay. The banks make their money off only paying the minimum. That's when they can charge the most interest. So they're going to highlight that for you because they're in the business of charging interest. You know, banks take deposits, our deposits, and use it to lend money. Simple concept. So you have to understand that you want to pay over the minimum or you want to, you know, best thing, pay it in full, right? Balance transfers allow you to transfer the debt from one old card to new card. We talked about that already. Billing cycle. The interval of the time between receiving bills, a billing cycle is reoccurring and is the most often set to repeat on a monthly basis. For example, a credit card will often send bills on the first day of the month or for services provided the previous month. Now, people always ask me, should I pay my credit card bill early before it's due? What do you guys think? If I have a credit card bill and they're giving me 30 days in which to pay it, should I pay it on the 15th day or on the 10th day and pay it early? And will it help me out if I pay early? So who says I should pay my credit card bill early or pay it when it's due?
Earlier?
Okay.
I said pay it when it's due.
Pay it when it's due. Why do you say that?
If you pay it early, it makes them look like you didn't need the money in the first place. You had the money all along, so why am I lending you money?
That's a good answer. I like it. Let me go a little deeper with it. In business, right, especially when you have multiple things, you're growing as you all will, and you're all going to be successful. I know you will. There's a thing called stretching your payables, right? And it's about cash flow. You want to be able to manage your cash flow, and you want to be able to have access to your cash flow when needed. You know, the thing is, in theory, your money staying in the bank is earning interest. And if you take it out early, you're losing that interest to give somebody a payment that's not really due at that time. And so you want to hang on to your money as long as you can before without having to pay a fee. And so what it does, if you keep that same mindset of stretching your payables, paying when it's due versus paying early, It'll increase your cash flow, and it'll create a mindset of how to manage money and grow wealth. It's not give. There's no advantage to paying early. There's not like they're giving you a credit if you pay a week early. There's the only event is really a loss to you. So you want to pay when it's due, not a day after it's due. So if you don't have that discipline, then you would pay a few days earlier. But if you have the discipline, I would suggest like, oh, 3 or 4 days before it's due, that's when you should make that payment. Because it'll get you in that habit of learning to stretch your payables, learning to manage cash flow. Right? Does everybody get it?
The last one is credit line.
Yes. Go ahead, Jeff.
The limit on how much the lender will let you borrow. So if you go to the lender and you get a credit card, and let's say you start out with $1,000, which is it's common, it's not unheard of, and you pay it on time, and you have this card for a year, and you get a promotion on your job, or you make a few dollars more on the side, you can go back to that lender and say, listen, can I get an increase? And most of the time, they'll give you a longer credit limit. And it may jump to 2,000, could jump to 3,000. Or you can get additional cards. And before you know it, now you have 5,000, maybe 10,000 credit limit. As long as you're responsible, the credit companies will give you more credit as you go forward. And if you make more money and you can show that you're making more money, they'll also give you more credit as you go forward. As you go for a personal loan, car loan, all that is part of your credit limit. And we want to have the ability to exercise that by utilizing our credit report and our payment system as a habit. So that's the last one as a credit line. And you have to know you should know these terms as you go forward. Get familiar with all of these terms because these terms are going to be presented to you as you go forward.
Hey, take a picture of this screen if you need to.
I just want to share with everybody. I just got this in the mail. If you can see, they're giving me 100,000 points for me to sign up with this. It translates into almost $1,400 in travel points for free. So does anybody think I'm going to sign up for that card? Yes, I'm going to sign up for that
card. I bet you're going to sign up for that card.
And that's being on the other side.
That'll take me and my wife to Jamaica, and we won't have to pay anything.
You're going to take a financially clean class to Jamaica? Is that what you said? I hate to point it out, but we're already at time.
Okay.
Right. And those are the things that we're talking about. That's, in a nutshell, the importance of having good credit. Because, like you said, that's a free chip for Jeff to go to Jamaica of doing just maintaining good credit. All right? And these are the things that are offered to people that do that, and you know, it's so much easier and faster to grow and obtain wealth in this country with great credit because you have this partner that's willing to help grow with you. All right? Makes sense? We got through the whole class three, right? Okay, so there's a few more debt to income. I welcome you guys to take a picture of those definitions, and then if you don't understand it, we'll talk about it in next class if that works for everybody.
Yeah, maybe we could pick up here next class.
We're gonna reiterate some of the other terms with an assignment. So
yeah. And if necessary, Rachel, I mean, I know I hate to ask, but if necessary, we can throw in a ninth class. I'm more than willing to do a ninth class to make sure that we get cover all the information.
Yeah, I think maybe in one of our planning sessions we could talk about how to you know catch up so that we're on.
Okay, wonderful.
It's all in this cycle. So yeah, maybe we have to add another class. I see Nigel's giving that idea a heart. And I wonder, Keith Akima's got a question. Oh, you want the slides and the videos from previous class? We'll get those. I think all the internship coordinators have the slides and videos from the previous. And Joseph is asking about the assignment.
Yes, it's going to be sent to you via email afterwards. So look out, keep watch of your school emails, and your internship coordinators will send it out.
Can I make one quick point before we disconnect? And all of us here, the students here, most of them are below 20. They're in their 20s or less, give or take.
21 and under, yeah.
So if you work to 60, that's at least another 40 years, right? And if you make $50,000, that's almost $2 million. That's over $1 million. That's definitely over $1 million that's passing through your hands. This class is helping you hold some of that money. Most people get to be 60 and they don't have any of it. It has passed through their hands, just like the athletes. It passes through their hands, just like Mike Tyson. It $300 million passed through his hands, and Don King got most of it. So, you know, we want to help you hold on to your money. Like Sean says, it belongs where, Sean?
In your pocket.
Okay, that's a clear version.
Yeah. All right, good people. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And I look forward to meeting with you guys again next week. Thank
you. We'll see everybody on Tuesday.
Thank you, Good Shepherd.
Thanks, everybody.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.